Hey, if you're a college student, man, welcome back. Glad you guys are back. Glad that you're here with us. You add so much to our body, and we're really glad that you are here worshiping alongside us this morning. And so if you've been living in another town, or you've just decided to hang out at the lake this month, we've been going through our vision series here at Capstone Church, talking about who we are and what we do. Man, we don't want to do a lot of things. We as a church don't want to be a church that stays really busy doing a ton of different things. But there's a few things that we want to do really, really well. We want to do some things we think God has called us to do really well and focus on these things completely as much as we possibly can. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about Christ. Imagine that as a church. We want to preach Christ. We want to preach Jesus and everything that we do in our children's events and our songs and our student ministry, college ministry. Obviously, when we're preaching, we want Jesus to be the center of everything that we do. And so we talked about that. And then last week, Harvey did a great job. Harvey, would you stand up for a second? I know this is weird. And Janae, why don't you go ahead and stand up too? In case you're a college student that's never been here before, this is Harvey and Janae Edwards. Harvey's our college pastor. And so, and Janae is a beauty queen. Elbow, wrist. Anyway, you need to know them, okay? They'll plug you in here. And so Harvey preached on community and the fact that God hasn't called us just to come and sit in rows, but he wants us to get involved in each other's lives, that God has a great mission for us to know each other and to be together and to do a great work. And so we talked about that last week. And this week, we're talking about compassion. So Christ, community, and compassion. Those are the three things we want to really focus on. If you see on this thing, the three C's, we're not Capstone Community Church or Capstone Catholic Church or Capstone Charismatic Church. These three C's are they're the three C's of our vision: Christ, community, and compassion. That's what we want to accomplish. That's what we want to be known as a church that does. And so today we're going to talk about compassion. So if you've got a Bible, I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start there, and then we'll work to a couple of other places. But anyway, so glad you're here. Glad that you've joined with us to study God's Word this morning. Compassion. That's a loaded word, all right? A really loaded word. And so I just want us to talk about what it is, what it isn't, what Christ has called us to, what he hasn't called us to, and see how we can live differently. Compassion, I just looked it up in the dictionary. That was real noble of me, isn't it? It simply means sympathetic pity or and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. And this idea that Jesus calls us to care for others because of what he's done in our hearts. That's kind of where we're going to start at this morning, that Jesus has called us to live differently in the way that we deal with other people because of what he's done in us. And so I want us to make sure we all understand that we're talking about compassion. We're talking about living differently because of what Jesus has done in us and what he's called us to. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "You are the salt of the earth." We're going through the Sermon on the Mount here in a few weeks, but you'll hear this one again. But you're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. Man, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Make sure you see that last verse there. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they would see your good works and do what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I just want to make sure that we get this. When we talk about the church, when we talk about compassion, we got to get this thing right. We got to get this going and understand this correctly, that we want, God wants them to see our good works and give glory to God in heaven. So if you've got one of these and you like to fill in blanks, we're going to start filling your blanks in. This first point is the most important point on the paper, okay? Because if you don't get it, if you get it wrong, You're going to miss the reasoning behind the other two things. So we think about, in light of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, particularly verse 16, and these other verses we're going to read, and we talk about compassion and being a people that show compassion. We got to get this point right, and that's this: that any compassionate work that we do must be gospel-driven. Let's be gospel-driven. The good news of Jesus has got to drive what we do, because the gospel is of first importance. We don't want to lose our gospel distinction, that we are here of first importance to proclaim Jesus. Okay, that we want to proclaim Jesus, and I've really made some church people mad by saying this in the past. You imagine that, me making church people mad. But look, we have an ulterior motive when it comes to doing good works. Okay? We have an ulterior motive when it comes to being compassionate and feeding the poor and clothing the naked and giving medicine to the sick. We have an ulterior motive in that, and that is we want to proclaim Jesus. We want to tell them about Jesus. And if that is not is what is driving our desire, if it's not Jesus at the end of whatever we're doing, then we've missed the thing that has set us apart and the thing that God has called us to. We're going to be gospel-driven, a people that want to make Jesus known and people that want to point people to Jesus. And I know some people aren't going to like this. If you're big into social justice and a social gospel that we're here to feed the sick and to clothe the naked and to give money to the poor, I agree, we should do those things. But at the end of those things has always got to be Jesus. And if Jesus is not driving our desire to be different and to look different and to act different, then we've missed the point of what God's called us to. Look back at verse 16. What does he say? In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they would see your good works and do what? And give glory to your Father in heaven. The gospel, Jesus, has got to drive what we do. Not being good and not doing good things is not an end in itself. It can't be. We can't be just a group of people who are concerned about just doing good. We do good so that people would glorify God. We do good things and we love people and we make a difference so that people would see Christ and we would point people to Christ. Jesus is of first importance. Okay, I want you to look in these verses in 1 Corinthians 15. It's on your paper there. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is writing this really long letter to the church at Corinth, and he's all the way over in chapter 15. He's almost to the end, and he has discussed a ton of things. This church was really jacked up, and so he was trying to fix a lot of things that was going on in the church at Corinth. And he gets to chapter 15, which is a really familiar, really famous chapter on the resurrection, but he's all the way over into this letter, and look what he says to these people. He reminds them of something. He says, "Now it reminds you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you preached in vain." Look what he says, verse 3. "For I delivered to you as of first importance that Christ died, that you also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures." I love that Paul says to these people here, he's talked about a myriad of things. He's talked about marriage. He's talked about sex. He's talked about the Lord's Supper. I mean, he's talked about all kind of stuff. He's talked about really important stuff. But he gets here to chapter 15. He says, "Hey, don't forget this." Okay? It's kind of a reset for Paul, I think. He gets here, chapter 15. He says, "Don't forget that I delivered to you as of first importance. The most important thing for you to get is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." That the gospel, Jesus, is of first importance. So when I just want us to understand, as we talk about compassion and being a group of people that are compassionate and do compassionate work, we can't lose sight of Jesus, okay? That ultimately, of first importance, and I really, I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, I just want to make sure we get this, that the number one thing that God has called us to, he has not called us primarily to feed the poor. He has not called us primarily to clothe the naked. He has not called us primarily to heal the sick. He has called us primarily, he has called us to see God breathe life into dead people. That's what we're called to do, okay? That God breathes life into dead people, which is all of us who don't know Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and our sin, and God sent his Son to die for us. His Spirit breathes life into us. That is primarily the thing that we do. And we feed the hungry, and we clothe the naked, and we see the sick healed. But we do those things so that we can see God breathe life into dead people, okay? You got that? Did I preach on that long enough? You're like, please, just move on. All right, it's the primary mission of the church. We do compassion to proclaim the gospel. Make sure we get that. So we're going to talk today about, it's a two-point sermon. That was the intro, okay? A two-point sermon on who we show compassion to and how we show compassion. All right, as a church, who do we show compassion to and how do we show compassion in light of the fact that all compassion is meant to lead people to Jesus, not compassion isn't an end in itself. You got that? You feel like I've beaten you with a bludgeoned you with a baseball bat for 8 minutes? I hope you do, because I have. Two groups of people. How we want to show compassion, man. Be people that have concern and show pity, and pity not in a bad word, but in a good way. That we love people and come alongside people and walk through things with people. Two ways we do that. But number one is this, by loving each other. We want to show compassion by loving each other. As the body of Christ, we want to love each other. The church should be a place where you feel most loved. Has that always been the case? Probably not, all right? Because church people can be real mean people. Can I get an amen? No, I'm just kidding. Amen, I know, that's where I'm going to go. They can be, man. Church people can be some of the meanest people in the world. I know some of them. I mean, I do. I mean, some of the meanest women I've ever met is at a church. I'm like, man, stay away from her. Not, people say, go to the church and find a wife. I'm like, I don't know if I want to. Anyway, I did. She's awesome. She's not like that. And we want to, the church ought to be, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said the church, in his mind, was the dearest place on earth. And I want you to know that we want to be a church that loves each other and shows compassion to each other. Look at what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 here. He says, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap the Spirit from the Spirit reap eternal life. Verse 9 and 10, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10, underline this. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith. Let's do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. So when we talk about being compassionate, the first place we want to be compassionate is in our body. We want to be a loving church. We want to be a church that when you walk in the doors here, you feel loved. And, look, we're not perfect, all right? I said this before. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. The reason we're not perfect is because people like you come here, all right, and people like I come here. And if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you will absolutely jack it up, because you're jacked up and you sin, and you we're all selfish. We all want our own thing. We want it our own way. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's too contemporary. It's too traditional. It's too whatever, all right? All of us are, we're not a perfect church, all right? But we want to be a loving church, a church that loves each other and that loves Jesus and that comes alongside each other and takes care of one another, particularly those of the household of faith. And look, you know, hear me really clearly. The church is a family. We're ultimately a family. And if I could tell you from my own experience, I've got a good family. I have a great relationship with my mom and my dad, with extended family and things like that. But some of the closest people in my life are people that I know from church, people that have come alongside me, that I've walked through things with. They've walked through things with me. And we need each other. And so here, and kind of piggybacking on what Harvey talked about last week, man, we're a community of faith that wants to love each other and that we need each other. Look, we need you at Capstone Church. We need you to plug in and to be part of what we're doing here. Man, the body of Christ, you know, it says, Paul wrote, man, when one part suffers, all suffer together. When one part rejoices, all rejoice together. And so we need you to come in and to love us and let us love you. I know in my own life, and some of you know this, if you're new here, just to tell you, not to harp on it, but my mom has been going through a battle with cancer for the last 7 months. We found out in January that she has stage 4 adenocarcinoma of the pancreas, all right, words I had no idea existed 7 months ago, but she has pancreatic cancer that has metastasized to her lungs, and it stinks, okay? It's bad, and it's been really a difficult time, and I just wanted you to know that if it were not for the church loving our family, I don't know where we'd be. Man, so many people in the church, not just this church, but believers around this community and really across this nation that have come alongside my family and loved us and prayed for us and given to us and just cared for us. I mean, they've shown my family compassion, not because I'm a preacher, but because they know us and love us. And man, I want you to know, man, we want to do that for you. We want you to do that for us. We want to come alongside each other, love each other, show compassion. And that's why we want you to get involved. We have a group link thing where we try to get people involved in small groups so that we can pray together and study the word together and fellowship together. But even on top of that, we want you to get involved in a small group so that when you have a kid, we can rejoice with you in having a kid. And when you get married, we can rejoice. And when you get a new job, we can rejoice with you. And when somebody gets sick in your family, we can come alongside you and love you. And you lose a loved one, we can come alongside you and love you. You go through a difficulty like a miscarriage or maybe a divorce, and we want to come alongside you and love you and show compassion to you. That's why we want you to get involved in a group. That's why we want you to be part of what God is doing at Capstone. Look, I could care less about your money. I could care less about turning some kind of a form in to somebody telling people how many people we have. We're not worried about that here at Capstone. We're worried about loving you, you loving us, showing compassion to you, you showing compassion to us so that we can accomplish these things that God has called us to. So the first people we want to love is each other. Man, we want to be a church that is loving. We want people to come into Capstone and say, man, those people, they're weird. But they love Jesus and they love me. You're like, I fit in because I'm kind of weird. I mean, it's just a good place just to be weird together. I don't know. Anyway, we want to love each other, number one. And number two, we want to love each other and we want to love the world. And this is what you're used to hearing when we talk about compassion. I didn't want us to miss the first one, though. Loving the world. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25. And he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is harsh. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. What did he say to those people? Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and the angels. And then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? It would not minister to you. And he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And he will go away into your eternal punishment, into the righteous, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the end of Jesus saying, doing to the least of these and then not doing to the least of these. Very harsh words Jesus has about loving the world and showing concern and care for the world. James chapter 2, what it says in James. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that kind of faith save him? It's dead faith if he doesn't have works to go alongside of it. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and is lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled. I've kind of wanted to do that just for fun and not really mean it, but like just try it one time, see how that worked. Like somebody, hey, I'm really hungry. Like, man, I hope you find something to eat. That stinks. That's the horrible part of my heart. But I'm just kidding, man. Come on, let's go. Can you imagine doing this? Can you imagine doing this to somebody that literally is hungry, that's needing something, and being like, man, you got a spread inside. You got your chicken casserole and your green beans. And somebody comes to your house like really hungry. They really need some clothes, and you have to like just shove stuff into your closet to get. I know how your house is. It's like mine. We look for a new house. It's got bigger closet space so we can store stuff. A closet is the holy of holies for the materialist. All right, we just shoving stuff in there. And he's saying there, would you say to somebody that was really in need, man, I hope you, and you've got clothes everywhere and you got a spread on the table. Would you say to them, man, hope you find something? He's saying here, that's not saving faith. People that have real, genuine faith, they have care for people that are in need. He says, go in peace, be warm and filled without giving them the things that are needed for the body. What good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I just want to make sure you understand that, I think you know this, but man, because of what Jesus has done in our hearts, he has called us to live differently towards the world. So when we see a need, what do? We meet it. Okay? We meet needs. We hear about people that don't have drinking water, so we're compelled to go there and drill, because we know that water is easy, okay? We just need a little bit of money to get the well, to drill down, to find it, so we can get them water, okay? We do that. We know that there's people that are hungry, so we send, and we want to feed. We as a church, we have a feeding station that we fund in Kenya that we want to help. And, you know, we hear about Tali's friend Zoltan, who's coming to America, which he's going to be here to, not the movie Coming to America, but... Zoltan coming to America. Man, he's coming, amen. But we hear a brother in Christ, we hear that his house burns down. So what do? We take up money and we send it to the brother, okay? Because we want to have compassion. We want to show compassion to the lost, to a world that desperately is in need and desperately needs Jesus. But here's, I want to make sure that we understand, when we talk about giving to those in need, those who need clothing, those who need food, those who are naked, all these things Jesus is saying, we want to make sure, though, that the gospel is our motivation. Because if the gospel is not our motivation, church, then we have missed it. And here is what scares me. Is there a lot of people and a lot of ministries and a lot of churches that do good without the gospel? They take up bikes for children at Christmas. That's great. Give kids a bike. Everybody needs a bike. I agree. I'm not like a bike Nazi. Everybody needs a bike. I mean, that's cool. We preach Christ. Okay? We want to feed people. We absolutely want to feed people. All right? We think that is great. But we want to preach Jesus in feeding people. So when we lose that distinction, that we're just doing good without Jesus, man, we've lost the thing that sets us apart, church. And so it kind of scares me. It makes me question my own heart. And when I see things like that is, man, what is your motivation behind doing, when you see a need and you meet it, what is your motivation? And when I say preach Christ, I don't mean you got to like pull some track out of your pocket and like, you know, hold on a second, let me walk you down the Roman road. I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm not saying that you've got to, you know, kind of just shove something down somebody's throat. But what's your motivation behind loving the world? What's the motivation in your heart? See, when it becomes a heart issue, for most of us, it becomes an issue. Why? Because our hearts are dirty. Our hearts are sinful. And I know this as clearly as anybody in the room does. If you are as narcissistic and egotistical as I can be sometimes, you can read what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, but it goes something like this in your heart. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and think how awesome you are. We can absolutely have the wrong motivation behind being compassionate. We can make it about us. We can go on mission trips to take pictures with hungry kids so that we can put them on Facebook. That sounds stupid, but that happens all the time. All the time. What's your motivation? Man, this is a heart issue for me. I think it's a hard issue for all of us. We talk about being a church that's compassionate, that really loves people. The question is why, not how. I mean, this church is as giving as any church I've ever been part of. When I hear your stories about you see needs and meet them, and that's great. But why? I think that's the question that I've been asking myself all week is, we're compassionate, but why? So that people will think well of us, or so that people will think well of Jesus? What's our goal? What is driving what we're doing? And I think if we're all honest, we would say, you know, sometimes it's about me. Or maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's about them, but it's not about them knowing Jesus. It's about them having a meal. And that's good, but it's got to have something greater and more important. Why? Because people that have meals, people that have clothes, people that are healthy, if they don't know Jesus, they die and go to hell. So the ultimate compassionate work that we can do, church, is to make Christ known. That's our ultimate goal. It's not feeding and clothing. It's Jesus, okay? It's Jesus. So how do we do this? And we're done. I'm sorry. I feel like I ain't mad at you, Tupac. I just want to see us I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. y'all know my mind. How can we do this? All right. A few things to tell you about. There's a card in your seat there, Capstone Care. And we want to be a church that cares about each other. So if you say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of helping. I want to be part of meeting the needs in our body, serving those in our body, rejoicing with those who are rejoicing, mourning with those who mourn. Miss Ann Smith is heading up this ministry. You like that? And just fill this out, okay? And we'll get up with you and talk to you about how to do that. Other things you can do. Third Saturday Serve, man. We went out yesterday and helped some college students move in, try to build a relationship so that we can draw them into the church, all right? We do that. We work with Peter. Peter, you want to stand up for a second? You don't have to. I feel like you made a lot of people stand up today. I'm sorry about that. I don't normally do that. Peter is here working with Habitat for Humanity. And what a great chance for us to go out, share the love of Christ, show the love of Christ with homeowners in a community. This man right here is a beast, okay? You need to get to know this guy. He is doing that and is serving well. And so we partner with him. We're we go on international mission trips. We're going to Uganda, and we're going to Serbia, and we're going to Costa Rica soon to see the Ritterings. And so, and we want to go and make Christ known. That's how we do that. We do mission projects in our community groups. We want your small groups doing mission projects. And more than all those things, we just see need and we meet them. And this is on the bottom of your thing there. Make sure you get this. You don't need a church program to show compassion. Okay? We don't need, don't wait for the church to come up with some good idea for you to do it. You just trust the Spirit of God to lead you. You see a need? Meet it in the name of Jesus. Build a relationship with them and share the gospel with them. Know of someone this week that met a really an emotional need in somebody's life and turned into ability to meet a physical need in their life. But in the midst of it, she shared the gospel. Didn't lose sight of the gospel being the central point of compassion. So man, what about you? We're done, all right? You can close your Bible if you want to. Turn it off or whatever you do. Man, church, I want to be a church that is compassionate. It doesn't say we're compassionate. We don't put it on our sign. We don't talk about it, but we are. We love people. We meet needs. But we do that so that Christ would be made known. We let our light so shine before you. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That would be dumb. They put it on a stand and it gives light to all in the house. And in the same way that you light your house, that you shine light on everything in your house, in that way, let your light shine before others. That they would see your good works. And when they see your good works, they say, man, not she's a great girl or he's a great guy, but he serves a great God. And tell me about your God. Wow. That's a heart issue, church. That's a heart issue. So where's your heart at this morning? Are you compassionate? Good. For what reason? Jesus. All right. I hope that's our reason. And if it's not, you need to repent of your self-centered, egotistical ways of making things about you. Me too. You need to repent of a social justice, social gospel, thinking that feeding people is going to get them to heaven. And understand that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ and them repenting. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Guess what, Francis? You need to use words, all right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of Christ. We need to be people that don't just do good, but preach the gospel in doing good. All right, I'm pandering now, I'm sorry. Honest to bow together for a word of prayer. Not bad. Man, church, where's your heart at? We certainly think this is a very giving church, a very loving church. But why? Why do we do what we do? So that men think well of us? Or so that Jesus is glorified? I pray the answer is no. Pray the answer is no. And this morning, you may not even know Jesus. You may have never come to know Christ. Really religious, really loving, don't know Jesus. This morning, man, I'd love to talk to you about that. And if you're like me, you can be real egotistical sometimes. Real focused on you. Even in doing good, focused on yourself. I pray that the Lord would rip that out of your heart as He's ripping it out of mine. And that we would understand that we go to feed the hungry because of Jesus, not because of ourselves. We go in love because of Jesus, not so people would think well of us. So Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts and draw us back to a point of being centered on Christ. And Lord, You would burn away the desires in us that wants to make this thing about us. And Lord, if You are drawing men and women to know You this morning that don't know You, Lord, I pray that they would be faithful to respond to Your gospel. And Lord, we would be faithful to give You the glory in everything that happens. In Jesus' name.